身为一个英灵的哦，了解神是神圣的道吗 ？So today is the 28th April 2022. This is Thursday class. So we will be continuing our sharing from this book, A Wonderful Dhamma Flower, Lotus Flower Sutta. We are at page 240. Relax body and mind, and maintain support awareness. Then we will have our half an hour awareness-based meditation. I will off the light. So that you can commence your awareness-based meditation. So always remember, we are here to develop the awareness within. That's why it's called awareness-based meditation. To be aware is very easy. The moment you are without thought, you're already aware. So don't try to be aware. Just maintain the awareness within. Aware, finish. Aware, finish. Then let things be. Whatever arises, let it arise. It may be a thought, or it may be a tactile contact, or even consciousness arising at any of your six senses. Just let it arise and let it pass. Your duty is just to silence everything and maintain awareness, to be the silent observer within. The awareness nature without thought is very beautiful. That is your true mind. That is your meditative mind. That is the nature within that can understand truth, can awaken to truth. So when you can just relax body and mind and maintain awareness, you actually are developing the meditative state. And you can arise that awareness nature and stabilize it. Your meditation will take off. After that, a lot of things will be clear to you. So awareness-based meditation is very simple when you understand. So no need to do anything. Just relax, maintain awareness, stabilize it. And then later on, of course, when you are able to stabilize awareness nature, then you use it to meditate. Then during that time, you can stay at the heart area and let the nature detect the gateway. You can continue with the fourth support, which is trust. Trust your nature to develop meditation. Okay, you can slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner awareness, and inner mindfulness that you have developed for as long as you can. These are the mind states that you need to use to live life and to continue with the development of the daily mindfulness leading to heedfulness in the midst of life. Then only it can give rise to continuity of mindfulness and heedfulness leading to awakening. How does one develop wisdom? Here the title, they use the word sick. You can also use it, but when it comes to cultivation, you actually no need to sick. You want to develop the cultivation, means you already have the Buddha Dhamma. Then you want to put it into practice, cultivate, develop it. Anyway, maybe the title that they use, how does one seek wisdom or develop the cultivation, means before you develop, you must seek. So the seeking part, maybe we can spend a little bit of time discussing it. So the important understanding of seeking the truth is actually very important. when I started, actually, when I was very young, I just want to understand what is truth. Then what is it that people talk about? Enlightenment. So most people, if you were to inquire or discuss with them, they say, I am seeking the right religion. To them, actually, is the right teaching. So basically, it is truth that you need to understand. When you understand truth, you understand Dhamma. The Dhamma is basically truth, universal truth, nature's law. So to me, truth is very naturally understood, because truth is what that can allow us to understand what is going on. Whatever that can explain the way things are is the truth. So initially, I remember after I know science, geography, and maths, and also a little bit of general knowledge about the universe, the planet, the star system, etc. So the inquiry mind actually took off. I was looking at the sky. I like to look at the sky, and I am amazed by the stars up there. Then I keep on questioning myself, who am I? What am I? What am I doing here? Then suddenly, from inside my heart, the nature there, the answer popped up. You have to meditate to understand. And that was it. I had the joy, actually. But at that time, I was only 17 years old. I don't know what is meditation. I don't know what truth is. So what happened was, I just leave it at that. The end of Form 5, after the exam, very strange thing happened. I got a few classmates, I think 5 of them, together with me, 5. One of them was a very staunch Buddhist. The other father was a very strong Buddhist, authority in Buddhism. The father actually teach Buddhism, give talk and all those things. So he was a strong proponent of Buddhism. So he came to us, then he discussed with us. He wanted us to believe Buddhism and go into Buddhism. So somehow we had a discussion, then I said, maybe not now. At that time, he was not able to tell me what was Buddhism. Then I saw what my mother do, praying to all the deities, going to temple, make offering, then like negotiate with the deities and devas. You help me, I help you. It's just like, if you can fulfill some of my mom's wish, which is to protect the family, give them good help, and make sure they behave and study well. Of course, near the exam, they will have to ask for blessing from the devas to pass exam and all those things. Then when I look at that, I say, if this is the truth, forget about it, because I saw what my mother do, and I cannot accept, I cannot believe. Then later on, only I came to know that these are Chinese tradition, nothing to do with Buddhism. The actual Buddhism has none of all this. But then, that thing started to change. But before that, I really never even want to spend time or pay attention to that so-called religion called Buddhism. Then we decide to go around. After exam, go around all the religious place to seek truth. So we tried the Christian, the temple, and also the Hindu. Then we also end up go into a lot of these other religious places. One of them was Baha'i. I remember that time the Baha'i religion was very new. Then, of course, there are also other religions. But none of them can convince us or give us the faith for us to go in to study and develop. Yes, we have a scientific mind, very technical, very scientific. So when people tell us, you must believe in something, then that thing is the almighty and all those things. Then we are like put into a corner where we are forced to believe creation. Then as a science student, we know nothing is created nor destroyed. And when we understand that, then we always ask, if there is a creator, then who created that creator? Because there is an unending change. It cannot start from basically nothing. It has to start with something. Here you have the creation theory. And who is that who originally started the creation? You can give it any name, but how does he or she or the entity comes about? So there was no end to it. So we just let it be. And finally, I continue with my Form 6 over 6. And during Form 6, I was lucky. Somebody gave me this book. Actually, it was a classmate, the sister. He realized I like to sit alone, and I like to be alone. Then she suddenly one day passed me the book, Chief Reverend's first edition of the What Buddhists Believe, the red color small thin book. He said, maybe this will interest you. Then I just took it back and I read it. The moment I read it, there was joy. That was the book that told me what my mother did was Chinese tradition, nothing to do with Buddhism. Then the moment I became curious and want to find out what is the Buddhist teaching, then I came upon the Four Noble Truths. That time, Chief Reverend didn't mention about the tree turning. Chief Reverend is the late K-Sri Dhammananda of Brickfield Temple, Mahavihara. So because of the Four Noble Truths, it was so strange. The moment I read it, I straight away knew, my nature knew. That's it, no need to search. Whosoever, during that time of the Buddha, 2600 years ago, can develop such understanding and summarize all of life and truth into just Four Noble Truths, he must be the real one. Because at that time, the age of 18, I also can understand if I were to realize that truth, I can't summarize it that way. So from there onward, I stopped my search. I just tell myself, that's it. And strange thing happened. After that, I finished my Form 6. I managed to gain entry into University of Malaya to do engineering. Then the first day when I was at the uni, I remember I was staying in First College. That night, I met a new friend from Trangnau, I remember. He was my university mate, also doing engineering, but he majored in mechanical engineering. I did civil engineering. So he was the one that suggested to me, hey, Tio, you got anything to do or not tonight? I said, none. I take you somewhere. So I didn't know where he was taking me. But I ended up with him at science faculty. And he was told there was a monk who come and give a very good talk, a very scientific talk on Buddhism. Then I happened to come to know that the name is K-Sri Dhammananda. So he happened to be the author of the book that I read. So I was full of joy and I listened intensely during that sharing or that Dhamma talk. I was full of joy. I saw a true monk ball with the rope, speak perfect English, and very good in his approach to the Dhamma. Yeah. So after that, immediately, everybody was about to go back. I went forward to talk to him and ask for his contact address. Then the rest is history. That's how I went to Brickfield Temple after that. And a lot of strange things happened. In fact, that night itself, I went back. I meditated. At midnight, when my roommate slept, then within just very short moment, to me, it's about half an hour at the most. But I was sitting there for 4 hours. I looked at my watch, it was 4 a.m. And my mind went into that state I never went in before. It went into the formless realm, spacious. They call it the infinite consciousness. Infinite space. That mind was so different. After that, it was there, that energy and that calmness and that state for about a week. It followed me. So then, at first, I thought that is meditation. That's why I became very excited. Then I keep on doing it on my own until a few weeks later, when I managed to get my transport, the motorbike from Alaska, I straight away check out the place with the map and I drove there. And that's how everything started. Then everything became familiar, very strange. And from there, I went to a library. I borrowed some books. I took some free booklets. And they are very good. Then they have a lot of Buddhist book there. And later on, I joined the Buddhist activity there and the classes. Then I also responsible for the tape library recording and lending of tape libraries and all those things. So that's how it all started. Then truth was realized. But it took me many years later, until finally 1989, when I was in University of Malaya first year. It was 1975, middle of 1975 until end. Then the semester end in March or April with the holidays, coming back to June again. So 75 to 76 was my first year. Then not until 1989, I finally realized the truth. But 86 was a very special year. That year, Kuan Yin's nature arise and gave me the message. Then from there, I moved. He said, not much time left. You have to move fast. So everything just happened. After that, the teacher come, the guy come, the book come, everything come, whatever that is meant to be. So that was how I search. So that was the search. Then after that, when it comes to cultivation, now we go back to the sharing. How do we develop the cultivation of the Buddha Dhamma and develop wisdom? So here we read Master Shen Hua one first, then we open up for a discussion. Shen Hua says, study the Buddha Dhamma. True, correct. Then listen to the sutra lectures. True. Then read and recite the sutra. True. The text says, to those possessed of blessings. Why do they have blessings? Because in the past, they made offering to the Triple Gem, the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. That's why you must have affinity with the Triple Gem. And that is what I have been sharing with you all the past few sessions, the importance of refuge. Yeah. So here, although it's very briefly mentioned, but if you understand the teaching, the Buddha mentioned there are three stages of Dhamma. Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. So Pariyatti is the learning of the teaching. So how do you learn the teaching? That's why if you really serious in cultivation, you should inquire. Well, when I started, it was not easy. Nobody told me all this. And that time, you can't really easily available to receive all these suttas, all this teaching. You have to listen to talk, bits and pieces all over. Like the whole zigzag puzzle, they were taught on a small topic, very particular topic. Then over a long period of time, all these topics are like small zigzag puzzle. They start to form into a more clearer picture. But you cannot have somebody who can explain to you the whole picture. The full picture of the teaching, like the mind map that Sui developed for you all. Then the summary of the essential Dhamma and the emphasis that the Buddha actually emphasized. I mean, the whole teaching is very extensive. And it's impossible for people who wants to go into this to actually develop the understanding. Well, most people, even Buddhists, and a lot of so-called teachers or maybe Dhamma teachers, Dhamma speaker or monks or whatever, they may not have the complete understanding of this teaching, but it's not easy. And to realize the true teaching is even more difficult. So what happens is, if you go around reading books, listen to Dhamma talk, it is going to take you a long time. It's not easy. So even at that time when I started, I listened to a lot of talk, chanting, everything. Then of course a lot of things are familiar. Then I attend retreat and attend a lot of what they call short trips, spiritual trips and all those things. So this was how I started. Then after the first, I think 9 or 10 years, it was still not clear because I was trying to find out what is this mind? Who am I? What am I? Nobody can explain to me. And all the theory that I was told was very knowledge-based, thought-based. So there was no way it can stop. Not until 1986, when the teacher come, the guy come. So when I start to meet my refuge teacher, Master Sven Huang, there was a time I listened to a lot of Mahayana teaching that has very unique teachings. Then of course is Acharya Yantra. He gave me very good pointers and guidance. And he was the one that brings me to understand the importance of sati, mindfulness. Then later on, of course, I met a few more. Then on my own, my nature from the past also helped me to connect. Then the way I developed the meditation was very straightforward. Then after 1989, when I came to know what this thing is, then only I came to know how difficult it is to develop the understanding, because nobody really can teach you or summarize for you all this. That's why I just let things be until 15 years later, 2004, when conditions are available. Then I was requested to come up to share. Then only I started to share. And when I started to share, it was not easy. Not easy. Because what I understood was the opposite of what people are doing. Completely opposite. So that was how it was. Then I start to reflect on the teaching. Then I realize the teaching actually for those who have understood is very clear. The important Dhammapada verses, the essential Dhamma. Then the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. Then from there, I realized, yeah, the teaching can be taught very systematically. So, Pariyatti is phase one, the learning of the teachings. There is this Buddha Dhamma, truth, the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths and its three tonics. So, Pariyatti is stage one. So how do we start learning the truth, the teaching? Like Xuan Hua said, you have to listen to the teaching. Then apart from that, you have to read up, maybe listen to recording. Then now with the internet, these are all the various type of sources that you can go. Then of course you need a good guide, somebody who has the understanding. Otherwise you can go astray, not easy to find the truth. So cultivation is not straightforward unless you met somebody who understands. Then you know how to start from this basic teaching. So after you have understood all the essential teaching or most of the essential teaching, then you have to move on to stage two. Stage two or phase two is Patipatti, means put all this teaching into practice. You have to cultivate until you have the understanding of it, until you become the living embodiment of this teaching. This teaching can manifest within you. It's not only theory or knowledge. Yeah. Then when you are able to develop the cultivation until you are very, very stable in your understanding, then one day when causes and conditions are there, it will trigger enlightenment, awakening. And then you can realize the third phase of Dhamma, which is Pativeda. You get to reap the fruit of your hard work, which is the cultivation part, to realize enlightenment and lead the life of an enlightened being. So this is how these three phases of Dhamma are to be developed and understood. But the process of it, especially the learning part, you need to have a guide who can explain to you clearly, otherwise very difficult, like you all know now. The theory is so difficult to understand, and most people don't know how to start. They don't know what is heedfulness. They don't know what is mindfulness. So without all this understanding, you will go and develop the thought-based meditation that can hardly awaken the practitioner. So because of that, first difficulty is always there, very difficult for cultivator to penetrate. So if you have the good karma like Chin Hao came to realize and Manika Mita came to realize, these two is difficult to come by. If you have it, you better strive on your heedfulness to develop it. Then after that is the practice, the cultivation. And that one is even more difficult. Well, what you have received is a series of instruction, method, techniques, teachers, guide, and all these things. But all these are subject to interpretation. And you don't have somebody who has gone through this cultivation before, realize the thing, there is no way you can do it correctly. But it's so easy to debate, to go wrong. You can end up in a lot of other type of funny meditation. So this is the part that we need to come to understand. To actually develop the understanding, you have to really develop the cultivation in a manner which is based on people who have gone through, who can really clearly guide you and explain to you. If you don't have this, you will have to depend on your past. Your past is very important. But even your past, and because of your refuge with the Triple Gem and your vows and all those things, it will create the causes and conditions for you to receive truth, meet up with teachers and guides, and people who has the understanding. From there, then there is a possibility. Otherwise, it's not easy. Okay, now I can go into the sharing again. Hopefully, with this summary, you all can have the understanding. So, the next part of the sutta is resolve to seek the Supreme Dhamma. So, this one is to determine to go the Bodhisattva way, the Supreme Dhamma or Superior Dhamma. They are determined to go on, to make progress, to seek the Superior Dhamma. Superior means special, a special kind of Buddha Dhamma. Then they speak of enlightening the condition. And this one is very important. This is the 12 link, Paticca Samuppada. The Buddha teaches, the Buddhists teach them the Dhamma of the 12 conditioned causes, is the 12 link or the dependent origination teaching, or we call Paticca Samuppada. In some texts, it's written as Ittappajjaya. It's also the same. It's a Pali word. Paticca Samuppada is dependent originating teaching. Ittappajjaya is also the same. So this 12 link or condition arising Dhamma, the Buddha taught them as follows. There are 12 links, he said. And this explains clearly to us how our mind functions. So this one is not easy to comprehend and understand. In fact, the first time I read it, I also didn't really understand much. But later on, as I developed the meditative training, the mindfulness and the awareness, then I start to understand. Then when the understanding is there, then things become clear. Then it's no more the words. It's exactly what happened at the former mind level. So the first link is avijja, or ignorance. So dependent on ignorance, the Buddha said, evil condition, sankara. The second link is supposed to be sankara. So here they put as action. Actually, that word, the English word, is very difficult to comprehend. What is action? Actually, it's supposed to be sankara, your mental activity, your mind states. So ignorant condition, mental activity. How does this link arise? Ignorant means ignorant of what? My nature come to realize later on. Ignorance of the truth, the essential, the teaching. When you cannot understand truth, you have ignorance. So this word ignorant is like different from illiterate, without education. So if you think you are a university graduate with a master degree or PhD, then you are very intellectual, very smart, you are wrong. In this case, ignorance is delusion, wrong view, not understanding what is going on, means you don't have the understanding of the truth. So when you don't understand what happened, you want to understand, you want to know, what do you do? Like in the school, the teacher say you go back and think about it. That's why you go back and think. That is the only instrument you have. So dependent on ignorance, Sankara activity, which is mental activity, arrive here, you go and think. When you think, what happens? You make contact with the brain. Yeah? The brain is the source of memory, thinking. Thought is respond to memory. So from the brain, the sankhara activity arises. But then our brain is also one of the senses that can trigger off thought consciousness. That's why the third link, avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya vijnana, is dependent on sankhara thinking or mental activity. You create mental consciousness. Mental consciousness is vijnana. And this mental consciousness is the pure consciousness before the contentment. That's why a lot of people cannot understand this. They go and try their very best to explain what the dwelling is. They end up mostly using the three lifetime type of explanation to do it. Otherwise, they cannot. There is no way. In fact, this dwelling is every instant, every moment. Then, like the physical experiment, when you make contact with the brain, upon contact, consciousness arises. But then, the movement is very fast. When contact has ignorance, it will trigger off ignorant response. So, avijja paccaya sankhara, ignorant contact, will condition the arising of the consciousness. But because of ignorance, you will trigger the views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system that you have in your memory. That is what you have accumulated. So that one will be introduced as content of consciousness. That's why they say dependent on that consciousness that arises, you will input the content of consciousness and make it into a thought. So vijnana paccaya namarup. Namarup is the form and mind, the second aspect, the thought process. Based within the mind, we have the four aggregates of vedana, sanya, sankara, vijnana. Then the mental form through the perception, sanya, you bring in the external form. Therefore, there is the five aggregate within. Then the sankara part, that aggregate of mind, is where your views, opinion, conditioning, mind state, with the content of consciousness going. And before you are enlightened, before you have the wisdom and the realization, you have the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why these are evil roots that make you evil. So your content of consciousness is always full of negativity. That's how you are trapped, entangled, incapable of coming out of it. So, at this link, the third to the fourth, is where the problem is. Then the Buddha continued by saying, when this form and mind arise, depending on this form and mind, means it's the thought consciousness, the second aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, there must be this six sense basis. Otherwise, they cannot arise. And dependent on this six sense basis, it will trigger contact. In fact, contact also happened at the first two links because of ignorant contact with the brain. It triggers off sankhara. So this part is very important. Then when you come to the fifth link of the sixth sense basis, it will condition contact, which is the sixth link. Then upon contact, this a feeling arises. Actually, simultaneously, a lot of things arise when you are mindful and aware. That's why when you study Abhidhamma, you will understand why Abhidhamma say there are seven universal sankhara mind states which are common to all consciousness. So, one of them is contact. The other one is feeling. and perception, manasikara, and a lot of other things. So these seven, they simultaneously arise. Then when contact arises, it will condition feeling first. The feeling is the one that condition craving or desire, emotion, positive and negative. That's why the eight link. Vedana pachya tanha. Tanha is craving, desire. Then tanha pachya upadana, or grasping. Then not only you crave, you desire, you grasp. Then after you grasp, it conditions bhava or bhava, becoming. You become that thing. Then of course, when you become that thing, it becomes transgression, you take birth. That's why bhava pachya jati. Jati, condition, jara, marana, and all the whole mess of suffering. That's how the dwelling comes about. So Xuanhua didn't explain, but this part is not easy to understand. That's why I refresh you all by going through it. Then there is this. Those are the vehicle of the conditioned enlightened one. One of the two vehicles cultivated by means of the 12 conditioned causes. So under the Theravada teaching, we have the sainthood way, the Aryas. So the sainthood way, they need the Four Noble Truths because they are sound hearers. They hear the teaching, the proclamation. That's why they are called Savaka or sound hearer, the first group of enlightened beings. And this one, they will realize Sotapanaship, first stage of sainthood, Sakadagamiship, second stage of sainthood. Then the third stage of sainthood is Anagamiship. Then finally, they realize Arahantship to be able to break free from birth and death of the segmented form and mind. But there is another category of beings, enlightened beings, which may be born during the non-sasana when there is no Four Noble Truths. But on their own, some, without the help of others, they can also realize the enlightenment through understanding this 12 thing, the 12 condition causes. So these are called conditioned enlightened ones. So there are two conditioned enlightened ones. One, they call it the Pacheka Buddha or the silent Buddha. And the one that awakened without the sasana is very special. The one that awakened during the sasana is of course also special, but more easy. So these are the first two vehicles within the Theravada tradition. Then after that, they got the supreme vehicle, or they call it the superior vehicle. It's the Mahayana teachings that talks about the Bodhisattva way. So when it comes to the Bodhisattva way, they have to go through these first two. The sound hearing part is listening to the Dhamma, then reflect, contemplate on the dwelling to awaken. Then after that, they take the vow. They go the Bodhisattva way, they do the 10 perfection, the 4 basic vow leading to the 10 perfection. So all this is part and parcel of the teaching. Then after that, the next part of the sutta is to those who are the Buddha's son, who cultivated various practices, seeking wisdom unsurpassed. They speak of the way of purity. The way of purity is the 6 perfection, 6 paramitas. Or under Theravada teaching is the 10 perfection. Okay, the next part is the sutra part. Manjusri, while dwelling here, I see and hear such things as this, reaching to 1,000,000,000 things, such a magnitude of them, which I shall now explain in brief. So this is how Manjusri starts this the sharing. Summation of preaching question and the beginning of the next question. So we'll go through the commentary. Manjushri, while dwelling here, I see and hear such things as this, like what? Like the things described above, reaching to the 1,000,000,000 things, such a magnitude of them, which I shall now explain in brief. All the many things I have seen and now describe in general, I ask the Bodhisattva Manjushri to explain them to me in detail. But first, I shall talk about them in general. Okay, so this is the commentary part. Then the sutta again. I see in other lands Bodhisattvas like Ganges River sand. Because the number of Bodhisattva is more than the sand on the Ganges River. Through various causes and conditions, seeking the Buddha way. Asking about the cultivation of the Bodhisattva practices. So general question. Then we go to the commentaries. I see in other land, Maitreya Bodhisattva say, I can see in other world, Bodhisattva like Ganges sand, as numberless or numerous as the grains of sand in the Ganges River, through various causes and conditions, using all manner of causes and conditions to seek the Buddha way. In seeking the Buddha way, we must foster merits and virtue. Don't think you can obtain the Buddha way cheaply, easily. See Bodhisattvas in numbers, as many as the grains of sand in the Ganges River, use all kinds of skillful means, causes and conditions. What does that mean, all kinds of skillful means, causes and conditions? It means to foster all kinds of merits and virtue. That's why the cultivation leads to the perfection of wisdom and virtue. To cultivate all kinds of blessings and wisdom. And to study all the various Buddha Dharma. It's not just one kind of causes and conditions which is used in seeking the Buddha's way. So we'll continue for a little bit more, then after that we will go to the sharing part. I think today we're supposed to get Brother Song to come in because Chin Hao and him, they went for this recent 10 to 12 days retreat, I think. And he has more things to share according to Brother Chin Hao. Anyway, to summarize what we touched on today is very important. Because today the topic is mainly on the seeking part. If you are looking for truth, you don't know which religion to follow, then that part is seeking. And if you really have the affinity and understanding, you know how difficult it is to seek the truth. But if you already have done it, then this time you come is pretty straightforward. Pretty straightforward. Then everything will fall into place. Then after you sit, you know that this is the teaching, then how do we start? Especially as Buddhist practitioner right now, you all have already studied for so long. So how can you now, let's say, you want to share this understanding to teach somebody to start? Maybe not so fast to help other people, but to start to cultivate this teaching. Let's say they are convinced that this teaching is very good. Like we all have already gone through. This teaching is very unique. We are the Buddha, is not only enlightened, he's fully enlightened. And because of his enlightenment, he is the wisest and the most virtuous human being ever to be born. That his teaching can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now, can transform your life and make you different. So this is very beautiful. Then let's say you are able to convince people to look at the Buddha Dhamma. Then he asks you, how do I start my cultivation? Or the learning, the teaching process, the learning process. So you try to contemplate and reflect on it based on your understanding now. How can you share and teach and guide people to do this? Yeah. That's why over the years, after I had developed understanding, I was able to do it because I had this understanding. And especially after I come out to share, of course it's not easy because what I realized and understood is completely the opposite of what people do. But for serious cultivator, if they are willing to listen and to give it a try, this can be very powerful, very potent, and very crucial in developing the understanding. But this type of teaching, the approach, is very different from the traditional approach. That's why most people will not believe. They are more attracted to the other type, which is more popular. So there are pros and cons as to how people view it and willing to give it a try. So it's not easy, but you can give it a try based on your understanding. You try to map it out and ask yourself, how can you start teaching people or guide people? In fact, the topic is so wide, so extensive. It's not easy. So just how I given you some form of summary, that was how I started. So going through the process is very beautiful. So hopefully with this website, with all this sharing, people can get to know this teaching better, and people can develop the understanding so that in future this will become a very clear guiding light or principles for cultivator of the way. In fact, our website is very good. The information about our website, I lay out a lot of very good objective and understanding of the essential Dhamma and all these things. Then the importance of kaya metta ships and all these things. Then the teaching. The important essential Dhamma, heedfulness, mindfulness. Then understanding the true mind, the silent mind, the meditative mind. Then the essential Dhamma. So all these are very useful, very important. Okay, so with this I will end today's sharing. Then we will open up for meditation, reporting, and Dhamma sharing. Like I said just now, we will get Brother Song.
Brother, I'll share meditation, the easier experience.
Good. 很好.
Okay, 去年了, 我都, 过了, 以前我是, 每一年都有, 去做这个 Vipassana, after 去年了, 我都没有去,
就, okay.
The conditions 给我再回去, 那么, 整个的那个, retreat 是, 完全的不一样, because, due to, 这么多年来, 跟Bradio,
The understanding,
So, the moment 我一进去的第一天, 我就, make 一个 aspiration 讲, 我要, 我希望能够在这个 retreat 里面, 去, stabilize 我的 silent mind 跟
calm,sati, yes.
这个是我这一个, retreat 的这个 aspirations.
很好, 是的。
So, 我在, then 我 on the next day, 的第二天的下午, 我在做, 我们, 有一个, 我们有这个 group sitting 的这个 sections, 我们的一个 1 hour, then 我在那个, sitting 的时候, 诶, 我可以, 讲讲, 看到那个, 那个 thought, 哦, 以前, 我们时常在 meditate, 你会感觉到, 哦, 我们有 thought arise.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
那个 thought, but 这一次我可以看到它是一个, like 一个, 有一个, 很像 movie 这样啊, 有一个,
very good, yeah, yeah.
然后我可以看到它, but 它不会 affect 到我, 我只是看住它。 以前如果是在 talk 的时候, 哇, 你一起走,
你会被它抓去,
at day 的那个 section, 我只是这样抓住, 诶, 它就 arise, 很像你看, 在看那个, movie 这样,
because it's dependent originating, you are just the witness, the nature just aware. Aware, if you don't dwell into the detail, like you watch the TV, If you are lost in the TV show, then you know you lost awareness. You don't know what is. Then you become like interested in the character. Then a lot of things go on in your head. But when you are just an observer that observe all this movement and activity or phenomena, the voice, and all, then you realize it's just that thing moving, nothing. Then you start to understand the awareness nature that is aware is so different. There is no word, nothing. So the beginning is like what you mentioned just now. It's like seeing or witnessing something that is just rising and passing away, like a movie, like seeing a movie. But you are not involved on that side, no? You want to know, you can know, but you just understand what is going on. Then later on, after all these things stabilize, you realize that Sankara loses its power to arise. Then that time, aware is aware. And straight away, you will go into that silent nature, straight away aware. Of course, initially, you need to anchor to something. It can be the heart area, or your anapanasati, or your heartbeat, or whatever. But that anapanasati is so different. During that time, it's very subtle, like no more breathing. You just aware at the breath there, the subtle breathing, or at the heart there, the heartbeat, all very subtle. You can just stay there. But initially, of course, the heartbeat will be like still not that subtle yet. For new people, it's like pounding. Then you continue to relax, maintain awareness. Then it slow down, slow down. But after you have stabilized it, your heartbeat, your vibration all become very different. They are all very refined, very, very subtle. Then usually during that time, they can hardly become mindful or aware of their subtle breathing or even this so-called habit or activity, because you need higher, more refined, stable mindfulness until the mind and the sati to detect it. So when you have gone through all those, when your mind has entered sati, then like I used to say, you don't need stethoscope, nothing. You just relax, maintain awareness, that it is there. It will detect that, it will understand the movement. It will be like the choices, awareness, that witness all this happening. Then you start to see the link, the dependent originating link, or at every link there is this activity going on. Like how avijja trigger off sankara activity. Then when you have the understanding and the wisdom, you realize it don't go and trigger. It's not curious anymore. But one thing to know, one thing to experience, no more. Let it just stay there. Then it wants to arise a contemplative thought, it arise. Otherwise, it stay there, nothing. Then the content of consciousness also say, now you don't input the memory on the views, the opinion, and the condition. You realize that the yonisomanasikara is there. Then you use the yonisomanasikara, means wisdom and the moment of sense experience, to act. And you act according to Dhamma way, following Noble Eightfold Path, following the right view leading to right thought, right spirit, right. All this, they will surface. Then you realize the aggregate become pure aggregate, no more grasping, no more clinging. So all this later, it will happen. So briefly, I just describe first. Then you continue. So
after this section, I found that my next sitting the section is very silent, like not like before, like it's being disturbed. Then continue. Then on the 第四天的早上, 第四天的早上 about 四点多 wake up 的时候 then 我就在床上 lie down 去 aware but at the time 我的那个 center 那边 一直在转一直在 move 一直在 then 我就去 relax into it
什么都不要做 relax into it
The more we relax into it, 它又更乱。哇，很像
不能。Never mind. Because you are not technically relaxed, that's why 它更乱。Because there are still some behind, the subtle thought or memory, they are still running like the sub program. They haven't ceased.Then the whole of the mundane activity, the sub-program sees, makes you really relax and let things be. That time is totally different. You continue to describe. 他更乱怎样? What do you do?
我就起来四点半我起来我就去 Dharma Hall 去做 sitting. The moment 我 enter 那个 Dharma Hall, that day the morning, 四点半有一点冷，可是很 special 有一点冷。But 我 enter 那个 Dharma Hall， 我觉得很 stillness， 所以我就去坐下来。The moment 我坐下来的时候，我的那个 heart 里面就是一个很 subtle 的在 vibrating， 在 vibrating。Then 我就 silent 的去 observe， then 慢慢的这个heartbeat 这个跳动没有了。
Good，
对，也没有了。
That's why when you are fully relaxed and you don't allow any thought energy to go in or curiosity to go in, then that thing become like return to its natural state. The natural state of that true mind is actually the silent mind, the very subtle activity, because that time the heartbeat ofthe life force, they will also become very subtle according to your mind state. When your mind state is with the true mind, it becomes very quiet. But when it's not completely with the true mind, that's why it has its sub-program, I call it, like the computer. It's still running, but you cannot see. That's why a lot of people realize like what you described.Still got this, got that, and all those things. But this is what meditation is all about. When you go through all this experience or transformation or this understanding, then you start to understand clearly who are you, what are you, what is this form and mind all about. Then when this form and mind slowly, slowly cease, then when it returns to its original state, this is the true mind, the true nature.Then what the thing is, without all this movement activity, what is that true mind, that true nature? You will start to understand. That's why, like you said, the whole thing no more. Then what happened after that?
我就发现到那个就那个心跳没有了。
Like 没有了。Initially, like you cannot sense it anymore.Because that one actually still there, but you need a very, very much more refined mindfulness. Means the real sati, means that true mind, the silent mind, that is completely silent without thought, without mental activity. Then later on, you continue to relax and maintain awareness and don't do anything. Then something will happen.
对，然后过后就那个 bread 也慢慢的就也没有了。
等
我们那个 bread 没有了，我发现到这个 form 也没有了。
对，
那个我只是 perceive 到 at the morning 那个外面那个 bird 在 chirping， then 你就是只是 aware， 就是 perceive like understand。然后过后你就 like oneness with everything 了，过后就
You see when it happened.You continue to relax into it and maintain that silence within and try to like preserve that state, not to be too eager to know things. Like your description or the thing, you come out of the meditation, reflect, then it comes, then it's okay. But when you are inside there, if it arises, don't go and dwell on it, just let it be. You know what happened or not?When everything like you describe, your heartbeat all like very subtle normal, your breathing all normal, but you are not dead. What is it that is still there, but no activity one, no form, no mind, nothing one? That is your essence of mind. That is your true mind, your awareness nature. Yeah. That one is without condition one, independent of sense data one. No need sense data one. But if you want to know and become the mundane mind and perceive, from there it come out very fast, like lightning speed. Stay there and see how the movement arises. Then you will understand more and more. That's why after that, when you stay the awareness nature, that is actually the oneness nature. But the chipping of the bird all is like very clear, like magnifying like that, because your senses are all not being active or triggered off. You are with that nature, the essence of mind. The essence of mind is your true nature, and that nature, it wants to know, it wants to perceive, it can, but there is clarity. You already shut off your sankhara activity and movement. That's why the senses become heightened. We call it heightened. The chipping of the bird or whatever, that one is the perception of it. But initially, before the perception comes in, that thing, that vibration is very clear, very beautiful. Then when you listen with that nature, that awareness and the phenomenon as one, then there is no word, nothing. Yeah. But most people are too eager to relate. Of course, when you come out of it, then you can describe it, the chipping of the person, whatever. But during that time, when you're inside there, it's totally different. Just let it manifest. Let it manifest. So that stage is very important. You should actually develop it more and more, stabilize it more and more. Then you will start to understand more and more. Very good. Continue. After that, what happened?
After that, 完全没有掉了，这样子就，但是什么都没有掉。After 我在在 aware 回我的这个 home 的时候，是 after 一个小时过后。
是的。
After 1 hour 的时候，我在senses 回来。Because 因为我们在六点的时候我们的老师会放 chanting。
Okay.
我在 around 4:45 的时候就 go through 这一个了。The moment 我回来的时候，就那个老师在放 chanting， 然后我就after 1 hour 了 ，but just like a minute， 就just like a second， 这样子一进一出。
Sadhu， 对 ，Sadhu， 嗯 ，it's like 一阵子不了 ，but actually 在里面很久了。So what happened is when you are inside there， you are actually not with your mundane mind， your conscious mind， you are with your inner nature。Then for that nature to come out, it may take a while, but you will be able to come out. Then when you come out, you become the conscious mind again. That's why that free mind is a conscious mind. But the conscious mind that come out with that understanding is totally different. That's why after that, even the chanting, everything, you can start to understand and perceive. But your mind is still very quiet, like a baby. Be aware, you know what is going on, but it does not think anymore, does not do things like before anymore. So during that time, you like to be quiet, peaceful, alone. Then all your movement, activity, it become like you are very mindful of it. The specific phenomenal awareness is everywhere, in all your seeing, your hearing, your smell, your taste, your senses become heightened, sharp. So all this can happen. Very good. Then after that, what happened? When the 老师来 do the chanting or this thing?
没有啦，就是当我一出来的时候，我才 feel 到，我的 body 是冷的，而且 the past 1 hour 完全是什么都没有掉。
Yeah, 你感觉不到的 ，because it has gone beyond the feeling, aggregate, the aggregate of feeling. That's why when you are in that state, you don't feel the temperature and all those things. Even itchiness all gone, no more, pain and all those things all not. But these are aggregates, mental aggregate. the Vedana Sanya Sankara Vinyanam, they are mental aggregates. But when you go into the silent, you are beyond all those things. But that one, the mindfulness has to be very stable, very continuous, and you have to go in. That's why you have to establish the stability inside there, the true mind. So then after that, from now onward, you have this ability already. As you continue with this type of meditative training, your awareness nature will stabilize more and more, until you can understand a lot of things that normal people cannot understand, because they don't do this type of meditation. They don't relax, maintain awareness, and let their nature stabilize and return to the true nature. So all these are very unique manifestation or transformation that can happen to a cultivator who truly understands the awareness based non-thought approach to meditation.
Okay. 过后就下一个的 experience 就是 after the next day 我的那个 section 做的那个 meditation 的那个 sections 哦，就他又开始又变成 又很像很 lost 了，就那个两 两个 section 就哇那个 mind 啊，真，连 第三个 section 他又完全又静下来。
Okay.
Then after that, 我就没有管他。 That actually during this retreat, 我有带你的 brother 你那个 a final summary of the Satipatthana Sutta.
Oh, that was very important. Oh, I will help you.
So then after the 那个 silent 了的那个 section, 我就回去我的房间，我就去看 这个你的这个书。
Yeah.
当我在看到那个 Cittanupassana 的时候。
对。
你是讲 something like 那个 sentence 你是讲 when your mind is restless with the hindrances,
yeah, you must be aware.
对 then 你讲 so from there 你将会明白这个 dependent origination.
Yeah, you just stay with it. 你不用去管它的那个 mental hindrance, whether restlessness or fear or agitation or what, you just stay with it aware. Then the nature, the silent mind, the awareness is aware. Means before it arrived, it was not there. That when it arises, you have to trace its origination factor. How did it arise? That's why before you trace the origination factor, you must be mindful, aware. But most people cannot do it until it manifests. Then when it manifests, don't panic, don't worry. Like you go through that path, you remember you said, certain session is very good, you sing in and go in very fast, very well. Then another session is like totally beyond your control. You cannot do anything. Don't worry. But that is the mundane mind, dependent originating mind, condition arising mind, cause of not. You just let it be. You want to investigate and find out what is all this movement. That's why I say you follow the Satipatthana. The Buddha said you just use the third way, aware, and stay with it. Then what happened? Like you went through, it ceased. It will cease. Then when it ceases, you will start to understand. All along, this restlessness of mind, or even fear, anger, emotion, insecurity, or whatever, negative emotion, tendency, they are not intrinsic within your true mind. They are dependent originating mind state, condition arising through wrong view, through wrong thought, when you react and stir based on your views, opinion, and conditioning and habitual tendency. All this you must see within the meditation, then awaken to it, then you realize all along, most people are trapped because they say after so many years of meditation, they still have fear, they still have anger, their mind is still restless. The moment you have their views, their opinion, and their conditioning, you are already off tangent. You don't know how to meditate. The Satipatthana didn't teach you to meditate that way. The Satipatthana teach you to realize the truth, which is your true mind has none of all this. All these mind states are dependent originating. The five aggregate of form and mind, they come and they go. That's why they are impermanent. Dependent originating, condition arising, cause of not. Where condition cease to be, it ceases to be. Means no more abhijja, no more ignorance, no more delusion. You let things be silent. The awareness nature be with it. Then it goes. Then you will come to know how the, like the Buddha said in the Satipatthana Sutta, how the mental hindrance that has arisen ceases to be. Means it ceases to be by itself. No need to do anything. Through wisdom, through understanding, you just silent. Stay with that phenomenon. The phenomenon and your awareness as one. Where your awareness got no thought, nothing, it's just aware. Then it will not fit in with any more thought energy which is negative. That's why it sees. Then when it sees, your heart area becomes very peaceful, tranquil and still. And that is your original mind, true mind. You have to realize that. That one very important. So every time it arrives, don't go and use the analytical mind to analyze. How come it's still like that? Why I, after so many years, I still cannot stabilize? Forget about it. If you do that, you will be trapped by the mundane thinking. It, through the back door, you will come and trigger off that analysis again. So this understanding is very important. No matter what happened, like the Buddha said, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions, the Buddha has already taught, they are all within the phenomenal world of cause and effect. Condition arising, also phenomenon. So how can I realize this? How can I investigate into this and confirm all this teaching? Is that my investigation? That's why the first factor of enlightenment is sati. With sati, you investigate. With sati, you silent. And find out what happened to that restless activity within that mind state. So if you do that, it will cease. Then you will understand. Then from there, you will come to know anger was never you. Restlessness was never you. All the fear, worry, anxiety, insecurity, they are all mind-made, mental state. They were never you. And this awakening is very powerful. Then after that, you will never be like before. Ayo, I still have anger. I still have fear. No more. All these are sankhara activity manifested through wrong view, delusion, sakayadity. So sati is very important. Awareness is very important. Then after you come out of it, you go for the fourth way. To trace the origination factor. Origination factor means before anger arrived, there was no anger. Then how did it arrive? That's why you trace back, you recollect. Then in your daily life, through your daily activity, your senses, you realize it's through one of the senses. Mainly seeing, hearing, and this memory that recollect or recall to memory. These three doors are more powerful. Whereas the smell, the taste, and the tactile, they are not so powerful. But these three, then you trace the origination factor. Then you come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be, how the restlessness come to be. Like now, you can trace that one already, how the restless mind come to be. Originally, it was not there. Then how did it arise? It arise because you have doubt. When you have doubt, then this thing arises. Then the understanding part haven't stabilized. The spiritual faculty is still not stable. That's why restlessness can, even at anagami level, do you understand? They still have restlessness of mind. So remember that. So even anagami can still have that mind state. So don't worry. If it comes, you have to develop the understanding. That's why trace the origination factor. Then you will come to know how the unarisen mental hindrance come to be. This is true one, through your doubt, your lack of wisdom, stability of wisdom. With the spiritual faculty, you have sati samadhi that trigger panya. That panya wisdom not stable, that it will come. That's why anagami, the first five factors gone, he still have restlessness of mind. One of the factors. How did he root it out? He still has minor conceit, mana. So all this need wisdom to root it out, to trace the origination factor, to understand that until one day your mind become transformed. Think also like that, don't think also like that. Then cessation will happen. Then the realization of Nibbana can just come, can happen anytime. Now once you have the ability to go into this stability or awareness mind state, you only need to stabilize your wisdom, trace the origination factor and do all this. Then when all this stabilize, then your understanding, one day, all the essential Dhamma become very clear. Sankara anichang, sankara dukkang, Dhamma anatta, all become very clear. No need to contemplate, no need to reflect, but all become very clear. And during that time, the mind, like, behave differently. Right? Think also like that, don't think like that. Whatever it arise, it's like it, then it will subside, it will subside. And you will see the subsiding cessation more and more, more and more. Until one day, it will be so sensitive, the very arising of that conscious mind, to be conscious of anything, even to perceive something, to feel something, that is dukkha. That dukkha become very clear, very like heightened. That's why during that time, you will know one, your nature will tell you. You want to be in that state, you go ahead. There is your choice. Because this is what dukkha is. So that time, your mind, it doesn't want to arise at all. This, the very moment of consciousness, knowing, feeling, perception is all the fine suffering, all inside that. That's why through that, it will start to cease, more and more, cease. Then it will not think. Yeah. Then that cessation will come. Yeah. Then it will trickle. Okay, so this is for you.
Paragraph 的时候，我在 recall 回这两个incident， 就是那个 heedless 那个 restlessness 的那个，忽然间有一个那种突然间他也很像有个 statement 出来，我不懂这个不是是不是 thought 啦？他说突然间那个一个讲说，他很快他就这样子出来就讲因为我们不可以 accept the reality, there is the, 我们就会有 duality. Then, 就是因为有这个 duality, 我们不能够 transcend 那个 duality. 这个就是那个 first noble truth 里面的那个 cannot get what.
Yeah, avoid the two extremes.
So, 他这个 statement 就整个这样子的 arise. So,
sometimes it can trigger off because when you are in that deep state,it can trigger off as you read and contemplate that suddenly you hit that part, the nature will trigger off because you are ready to develop that understanding, then it will trigger off. That's why you have to transcend duality. So duality is a creation of the thought, the product of thought. That's why thought divide to one, words, concept, ideology. That's how it do it.So when you know thought divine and the limitation of thought, then you don't use thought. When you don't use thought, what happens? That's why since you trapped in that, he has to continue to polish until it shines so that no dust and light. Then he go and create a duality of dust and non-dust. And he wants to be perfect in the mindfulness state. The mind polish until it shines so that no dust can...That is not the cultivation. That is still the duality created by the thought. So what he should realize is don't hold, don't do anything. Just let things be. Then he will realize the true mind, the true nature has nothing. Originally, like Hui Neng realized, there was nothing. Then where can the dust alight? Yes, the mind is not supported. It doesn't dwell anywhere. What is dwelling? The mundane mind dwells everywhere through perception, through mental aggregates. It creates and it dwells. So all this understanding will become clear to the nature once it goes through all this transformation. So that hint is very important. That pointer is very important. But you have to understand what is duality. The duality are the yin and the yang, the thoughts creation. That's why Krishnamurti used another explanation. He said you must see the limitation of thought, how thought divide and create all this duality that result in conflict, misunderstanding, argument, suffering, affliction. So these are all the very profound understanding. That's why Sankara is always anicchang. Sankara is always end up with dukkha. If you think and hold and give meaning, then Dhamma, where there is the condition or the unconditioned, is still anatta. Anatta means non-self, not a permanent and changing entity. Because within the unconditioned, all this don't exist. No word, nothing. That's why the unconditioned and the condition are different sets of Dhamma. The conditioned Dhamma and the unconditioned Dhamma need to be realized. Both need to be understood clearly. Then only we can transcend the creation of the mundane mind, the duality part. So duality is not a knowledge or a concept. It's an understanding that this is the way of the egoic mind. The nature of thought. We are thought divide through what? Through words, through concept. Well, thought is very good at creating all this. Yeah, and these words, concept and ideology, they are the manifestation of the mundane mind. It's just like in science, in technology. Why we have to use thought to study science and technology? Well, it can give rise to concept, name. Then it can divide things into like the elements and everything. And this one is needed. Thought is needed for understanding maths and science, for learning. But for wisdom, you cannot use thought. When it comes to psychological emotion, you cannot use thought. Your thought is limited. It will distort. It will create all this division, duality, everything. So the part on memory is all about thought. That's why thought is respond to memory. So this thing has to be reflected, contemplated until you can see them. That's why in the past, after my nature of awakening, 1989, I told my wife, I said, they say a lot of these so-called practitioner or cultivator or even monks, they are trapped in memory. That time I already saw it. Yeah. Acting according to memory is not acting at all. Yeah. So this is the power of awareness, mindfulness, the awakened nature, the stability of understanding. Yeah. And all this understanding is very different from traditional teaching of understanding. So for your case, you can continue to describe after that hint come or that pointer come. What did you do? You should have that joy. It's like awaken you to a certain extent.
Then should that day or that day was full, I think like full of energy. That day,
very good. The nature, the energy lighter, so to say, and the Buyong Sui. Because that awareness nature, when it is in that state, is very alert, heightened. It's very different.
Yeah, that woman, center 就 rest 了。哇，我到一点都不能够睡啊。
Yeah, it's okay because during that time where you are in a retreat, you have a lot of energy. You don't need to rest on. Actually, you hardly sleep. Most of the time you are aware that mind is different. That's why that mind doesn't consume that much energy. You know why? Well, hardly any thinking, hardly any thought. Well, thought is a big source to drain away your mental energy. We call it mental energy. That's why when you think a lot, when you try to learn something or prepare for exam or what, you use a lot of thought energy. Well, you have to focus, you have to memorize, you have to think. And all this pick up energy. That's why thought is a big drainage. It drains off your what they call life force energy. That's why you become very tired after that. When you think a lot, when you do a lot of work that involves the thinking process. But when you are in a meditative state of awareness, you conserve your energy. Your energy all actually is conserved. Then it goes through your gateway, you can stabilize your gateway. Then it will melt inside and become pure energy and open up your inner chakras and nadi, the places that needs to be activated and to transform the vibration within your physical and mental. So both of these will move hand in hand. That's why the consciousness part and the wisdom, they will move hand in hand. Then it will transform your consciousness also. Then the wisdom part will arise when the consciousness gets transformed. But if the wisdom part doesn't arise, the consciousness cannot go more deeply. It cannot become more refined. That's why sometimes people go through the consciousness way. They just develop the consciousness until it's very deep. No use, because the wisdom cannot catch up. So you will end up in occult or psychic field. So what you need is relax and maintain awareness. Then when this nature's energy build up, there is clarity, you relax into it and let things be until the vibration becomes very, very subtle. Because when the gateway is activated, and when your yin yang for external melt inside the pure energy that activate your inner transformation, that is the one that will actually transform your consciousness, your true mind, your silent mind, that nature and vibration until it becomes so fine until one day the mundane mind cannot take it, that is too gross to stay there. That's why it will slowly, slowly collapse. And the process of the mundane mind collapsing is very interesting. You can go through it and witness it. It will be the most beautiful. Then after that, your whole nature will shine forth. You become very different. Then you start to understand many, many things that you never understand before. It is like I used to describe, the world is still the world. Thing is just still the way it is. But how come now I see so clearly? In the past, I cannot see because the mundane mind is still there. It's cloud. Now, the whole thing like dispersed. No more mundane mind to cloud your pure consciousness. It's just like your pure mind, your true mind. It just manifests that nature. That's why 24 hours, that nature is with you. And no more mundane mind to play trick and do all this thing. Then you have the supramundane mind, the very fine type of mind. Because you still need a mind to function in this world. But that one is the supramundane, very fine. Some people use the word arupa, means formless thought, formless mind without image. But it's actually the supramundane mind. Yes, with the wisdom connected, it's a supramundane mind. Before the wisdom connected, maybe the formless mind is correct. There is without the image already, they can see with clarity. But without the wisdom connected, maybe they call it the formless the formless thought, arupa thought. Last time, my last guy, he used the word arupa thought, the formless thought, without image and anything. But for me, I realize it's a very fine supramundane that surface. That's why that one shine point is like the sun's ray, all the way, without any obstacle, obstruction, or things to obscure. There is no mental, emotion, fear, or is it? No more. It's like the whole sky, the space is clear, as clear as daylight, without any cloud, nothing. That nature just shine forth. So during that time, you don't have to do anything. Because you are that nature. You are one with everything. Then the senses, the form and mind is for you to use to lead life. You understand it all very clearly. So this part is especially useful, for arising the condition. For this sharing to come about.
Then, in between 我睡了一下子, and then 3 o'clock midnight 3点又起来, so 那时候我在那个床上 lie down 的时候, 我就 relax into it. Then 我可以看到在我的这个左边的那个 heart 那边, 它有一个很 light, 很 soft 的一个 layer. 左边那个 left hand side 的那个 heart 那边, 慢慢的 moving, 这样子, moving 这样子, relax, 当我慢慢的一直在 totally relax into it 的时候, 那个 layer 整个它就, 怎样, 沉浸那个 heart 里面去, 它就整个这样子就 absorb 进那个 heart 里面去, 那个 layer.
Then what happened?
Then 我就, Then after that, 我起来了以后, 我放了一个很大声的屁。
It will cause the gases to be released. And a lot of sometimes, not 一粒两粒, sometimes non-stop one, like submachine gun, can be in the form of hundreds of shots, one go. But no foul smell, bad smell, nothing. It's pure energy. It's a byproduct of that nature, that pure energy that actually transforms. And I realize always the byproduct is gaseous. It will come out. But it always come out through the fighting, the anus there, and it won't come out through your mouth. It will always go to the anus. So very strange.
Then, relative of 我最大的一个觉得就是 after 这一些的 experience 了过后, 因为我每一天都有 在看这个 Satipatthana 的书单, 分两个 section 来看 morning 跟 evening, 然后我知道我这一趟再看下去的时候, 我整个的 understanding 是不一样的, 我以前你是 appreciate, 哇它是很像一个
对
看到, 诶, 每个 paragraph 里面, 诶, 这,
the meaning stand out.
More for cultivation.
Yeah, all for cultivation. Yes.
你会知道, 诶, 这个 center 很重要,
诶, yeah.
它是 for cultivation 的,
yes, 对,
然后 我也知道, 诶, 要去, like suddenly 你去, 你会知道, 很像 Brother 你讲的, 刚才, 去 trace the origination factor.
Yes.
完全, 诶, 来，我又知道什么叫做 internally, externally
啊，对 ，shadow
完全 like go through 了这些 experience 了以后，我再看回这个 Satipatthana， 哎呦，每一个 section 都是不哇，很
yeah, the meaning stand out and become very different, very clear, and there's a lot of joy reading this.
对对
，you can follow already, you can understand it already. Otherwise, it's a very dry one. Most people don't know what is they say, like Liabu Kyuhan, they don't know what is this. Unless you have that type of cultivation and the transformation, you cannot understand all this. That's why the teaching, the real teaching, is very different. Very difficult to come by. And all these are there for future generation, where this website is going to be very useful, very helpful in years to come. More and more serious cultivator will realize that this is the website with a lot of true teaching, a lot of very important pointers. No matter how far they may have evolved and developed the cultivation, once they found this website, they listen, if they can follow, then my nature will rejoice, because this is where they can develop a lot of understanding and progress way beyond what they are capable of. That is consciousness way, the awareness based meditation way of wisdom and virtue is very different. The wisdom and virtue is supported by sati and samadhi. Sati and samadhi actually is the transformation of the consciousness. Because the consciousness that has sati leading to samadhi is very different from the mundane mind that doesn't have sati and samadhi. That's why with these two, the mundane mind is transformed. When it will cease and return to the true mind. And the true mind that manifests is the meditative mind, the silent mind. That's why now you start to have better understanding of what that thing is, and your affirmation and determination to like stabilize awareness nature before you go to the retreat is very, very important. That's why now you know why you have that aspiration. So it's meant to be. Now you go to this style of retreat, you look at it differently. Where you get the understanding, you will not follow the thought-based style of doing anymore.
No, brother, 我每一天看完那个，我因为我差不多每一天花一个小时来看这些 sutta。
看完了以后，哇，很多法喜呀，很多。Very good. The 法喜 thing is very good.
因为我发现到。 里面很多的那个 dharma 很多的 cultivation
没有看到
but
Parsi
trace the origination factor.
Yeah, that is the wisdom way to completely free and liberate.
你讲的时候, like, 很像没有感觉, but 这一次我知道, 哦, 然后我也知道怎样做, 等一下我就在那个 class 里面, sometimes 我有很多那个, sometimes 那个 healers 的 mind 来的时候, 我会去 trace 它, 哦, then 我一直,
from the mind, 然后我的里面还有
healers, 还有 craving,
yeah. The awareness will be able to trace all this.
Yeah, 我可以去知道, like, 哇,很多的 joints 啊, 这一次的 retreat.
Because after you trace, you will come to know they all manifest because of avijja. And the main thing that avijja trigger off is the fear. The fear. So fear is the basic fundamental root of all the what they call mental defilement. Fear comes from sakayadity. Who fear? What fear? The egoic mind fear. Fear of what? You are not the form, you are not the mind. Who died? What died? Nothing died. So who fear? What fear? Without fear, there is no movement of mind. You realize all suffering also trigger off from fear. Later on, all this understanding will come. That's why when you trace the origination factor, it's always your wrong view. But the wrong view behind is the egoic mind. That's why the egoic mind that trigger of the personality, the ego, the I, the me, mine, yours, and all these things. These are the egoic mind that trigger of the personality that brings about the evils of greed, hatred, and delusion. Because when the personality is there, you think you exist, you want to own thing, you want to have thing, you believe all this can be real and true. That's how the ego condition the atta, which is the I and the me. And that one will trigger selfishness, possessiveness, craving, grasping, clinging. Then when you cannot get what you want, that egoic mind will become emotional, angry. Then when you don't understand there is fear, it triggers off the sakayajiti, that condition, they call it the tansen chi gu qi. Means the doubt, the fear, the anxiety, and all these are the delusion part. So greed, hatred, and delusion, they are actually one. It actually comes from delusion, that trigger of the greed and the hatred, the envy, the jealousy. So without delusion, there is none of all these things. And delusion is the one that conditions the egoic mind to trigger off the fear, the insecurity, the doubt, the all the what they call negativity of mind state. Then from there, the other two evil roots surface. So seeing all this is how you finally trace back the origination factor. Finally, you nail the thing straight on the spot. Sakayaditi, self-delusion. Avijja, not understanding this teaching, the Dhamma, the truth, the dwelling, the paticca samuppada. So lack of understanding of the truth, the essential Dhamma, is the one that is responsible for all this samsaric becoming, continuous becoming. So all this understanding, they will stabilize and become very different. Then when you go through that whole process, you start to see that sakkayaditti is the main one. But apart from sakkayaditti, well, this is just the egoic mind, there is also the other aspect of avijja, which is ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of truth. Paticca samuppada. Ignorant of all the essential Dhamma, the Four Noble Truth, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truth. Then all the essential Dhamma teaching. When you don't understand that, you don't know how to apply the teaching. Then you don't know how to liberate and free your mind. So all these are very beautiful. Sadhu to you. So.
Yeah, Sadhu, Bharati, you can get the little explanation, give me a lot of the.
Yeah, 很多那个, 一段一段一段的那个 transformation 啊, 很多的, you have to go through. That's why there is a lot of Parsi saying rejoicing and all those things. Very good, Sadhu.
Sadhu Bharati.
还有什么?
应该是没有了啦,
okay, good. 也是刚好 10:33 So let us rejoice with the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.